When I was in my second year of seminary, one of my classmates died tragically from complications during a heart valve replacement surgery. Scott Schuler was only in his mid-20s and a paragon of health. He just happened to be born with a heart defect that had to be fixed once he reached adulthood. He wasn't a close friend, but he was a really good guy. Everybody knew that about him, and when he died, all of us were grieving. And so most of us, the ones that could, traveled many, many, many hours to Scott's hometown for his funeral. There are a couple of things about that funeral that I will never forget, but one of them is the song that two of my classmates sang. They sang an acoustic version of U2's 40. Now, y'all have heard of U2, I'm assuming. Someone got really mad at me at the 7:45 service for assuming he hadn't. I'm not that out of touch. So I don't think you all are out of touch, but, you know, we all have different musical tastes. But they're pretty popular, so proceeding. I was a fan of U2, but I was like a greatest hits kind of fan. I was not familiar with 40, which is one of their lesser known songs. 40 is their version of Psalm 40. The text of the song is directly from the psalm. And the refrain stuck with me as my classmates sang and cried out, "How long? How long to sing this song? How long? How long? How long?" That song unified us in our collective anguish, because it wasn't right. Like, our God was not supposed to let this happen, even though we like knew these kinds of things happen all the time. And I thought back to the huddle of us at a table in the cafeteria begging God to save Scott after we had received news of surgery complications and a lack of brain activity. And it felt like each of our prayers individually went unanswered. Like God was saying, "Nope, the world is cruel and unfair and awful, and you're not exempt from that on this side of eternity." In the peaks and valleys of the spiritual road that we all travel, that experience was deep in the valley of the shadow of death, and it did not at all feel like God was with me. I'm reminded of that feeling when we get to this point in the church year, just a few weeks from Advent, and our scripture readings go all apocalyptic on us, when God's message is not in the least bit encouraging or comforting. There's going to be war and famine and destruction and desolation. It's all normal, all part of the plan. Don't worry, life is going to suck. Buckle up and stick with me. That's what God says. And all the while, we find ourselves saying, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long?" And we sing that song many times throughout our lives, don't we? Whenever things are desolate and God feels inconspicuously absent. I confess to you, I've sung that song myself quite a lot over the last year and a half. Not only because of desolation, like, out there, and the collective gestures broadly out there, but also in here. There have been times recently when God has not at all felt particularly close to me personally. Prayer time was dry and dull. And maybe that's a little weird or even upsetting to hear your priest admit to you, but I think it's really important for you to know that clergy are not exempt from dry spells in our life of faith. We know it's part of the larger journey, right? We know that the valleys eventually will turn into peaks again, but we walk through those valleys as much as everybody else does. And Psalm 40 is such a wonderful expression of those valleys, of our yearning, our longing, our dreams for better times. How long, O Lord? How long? You know, Langston Hughes asks what happens to a dream deferred, but today's gospel asks what happens to a dream destroyed. Jesus' disciples are beholding the beauty of Solomon's temple that majestic structure that stood at the center of religious life in Jerusalem. And Jesus, a devout Jew, tells his followers that this physical symbol of God's abiding presence will come crumbling down. Now, if you have seen Solomon's temple, or at least the wall of it that it remains today in Jerusalem, those bricks are like as big as I am. You look at that and you think there is no way a structure like this could ever come crumbling down. It was a jarring warning to his faithful followers, to be sure, right? I mean, Solomon's temple, the dwelling place of the Most High, was a sacred and seemingly infallible structure. And actually, by Jesus' lifetime, it had already been destroyed once and rebuilt. It was an enduring house of worship on hallowed ground. So how could this holiest of places, holiest of holy places, which God's people had worked so hard to rebuild and that remained at the center of their religious life, how could that come crumbling down? How many promises had been made within those walls? How many faithful people had entered into its gates pleading with God? How long, O Lord, bringing their yearnings within the walls of that temple, laying them down at the altar of promise, only to feel maybe like God's answer was a distant nothing or a resounding no, or just simply the world is cruel and awful and unfair and you are not exempt from it on this side of eternity. So much yearning and hope and promise was offered in that holy place. And then Jesus promises that its walls will not stand. That violence and war will surely come. False prophets will give rise to false hope and false promise in times of turmoil. And the only promise Jesus gives is difficulty lies ahead. But interestingly, Jesus does not directly answer the disciples' question. So he predicts this horrible destruction, and then they come to him and they say, well, exactly when is this going to happen? They want a timeline, right? When's this going to happen, Jesus? When is this dumpster fire going to get lit, pray tell? And Jesus, infuriatingly, does not tell them at all. He completely skirts the question, and instead, he simply tells them, stay the course, stick together, don't let yourself be led astray. When the disciples want to know how it's all going to go down, Jesus directs them to each other instead. They ask for a calendar. Jesus gives them a body. It's going to get rough. Stick together on the road. You're going to need each other. Back to Scott's funeral. We were gathered in this like auditorium-sized church. It was one of those mega churches. Like a U2 concert might actually have happened there at one point. Hundreds, thousands of us gathered in this giant stadium of a church. And I think all of us felt like God was distant that day. And we're hearing these singers cry out, how long? How long? How long? And they, in doing so, they added something to the desolation that we all felt. Underneath their cries of how long was this sense of, I dare you, God. I dare you to let this be the last word. I dare you to be silent forever. We're gonna keep still showing up. Because damn it, we refuse to let this break us. There was just this visceral feeling underneath those cries of, how long, O Lord, how long? And I realized that God did not give us a direct answer to that question. There was no calendar of when the grieving and the anguish would end. Instead, God gave us a body, the body of Christ. Fellow believers gathered in community, holding on to their faith together so that grief and doubt and confusion would not let us get lost in the wilderness of despair. God's presence here at St. Michael's has been undeniably real to me. I felt it. the spirit shift that is taking place here, especially through this pandemic, our re-energized focus on reparations, our commitment to feeding our neighbors, our small groups gathered to study burning questions of faith around scripture and theology, the questions that we ask and the outlook that we shape rooted in a faith in Jesus Christ, I've seen and I felt real evidence of God's active presence here. And I wondered how I could trust that that was real, that I was really experiencing God's presence if I wasn't feeling it so much on my own. And well, when we want answers, God points us to each other, to the body of Christ, to all of you. And that, my friends, that is the power of Christian community. Not that we do nice things, not that we have interesting conversations, but that we find God here, together, where our cries of how long find their answer, not in a calendar or on a schedule, but in a body, in this body, Jesus's body. Where else could we expect to find God? Amen.